This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, my name's Ange Barry, and I'm the CEO of Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTIQ community radio station. I'm new to Joy, but Joy's been around for 26 years. We want to be around for another 26 years, and to do that, we need to grow. My vision for the future is for Joy to become Joy Nation, a combination of video, news and editorial, and of course, the great radio station that you love. We are so grateful for the support that our community has provided us over the years, but we are now reaching out to you, our friends in the broader Australian community, to help make this happen. So I'm asking you now to choose Joy by going to joy.org.au and donating to our Chuff campaign, helping us raise $250,000 to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Mad Wednesdays with Ash and Dean. We've got a special guest joining us in the studio. While school friends were battling exams, hormones and curfews, Cora Bissett was an indie pop hopeful. Even the loftiest teen dreams came crashing down. In a tiny corner of Scotland in 1992, a restless teenager pursuing the local paper came across those age-old words, band-seeking singer. What followed was a record deal that launched Bissett's band Darling Heart into the stratosphere. And in a matter of moments, its young members went from being worried about school concerts to touring with Radiohead and Blur. And now, Cora has brought a show to the Melbourne International Arts Festival called What Girls Are Made Of, looking back at that and looking at her life now. Hi, Cora. How are
Hello.
You? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Your show is one of those shows. Ash and I were actually looking at the guide separately, and Ash was like, this is a show we have to go and see.
Definitely. Wow. I actually took a photo of it in the guide and went to send it to Dean.
Wow.
And then found out that we would be interviewing you. Anyway, so I was like, oh, wow. Yeah,
that's all good.
Yeah.
What was it that drew you to it?
For me, it was that I have answered an ad in the paper looking for a vocalist.
He's a terrible singer.
I actually did get a couple of gigs, but with terrible bands. So,
okay.
But also, when you read in anything where it says something like Radiohead or Blur, that definitely grabs my attention.
Okay.
I did look up Darling Heart's music, and yeah. I was like, I can definitely see myself sneaking into my older sister's room in the early 90s and listening to that album for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Now, this is really interesting. So What Girls Are Made Of is playing at the Arts Centre Melbourne as a part of the Melbourne International Arts Festival. And you're looking at your life now. You decided to create a show with a live band, play some of that music and kind of look at things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration to do that?
It's been a few different things, really. So, you know, we're 25 years on from that happening. It's a quarter of a century, which just blows my mind. And it was always one of these kind of anecdotes that I'd share with mates, and people always would go, oh man, no way, you toured with Radiohead, that's mental. But it wasn't until, I never thought it was a story worth turning into a show until a few things conflated, which was my dad passing away 3 years ago, and I was cleaning out the family home, and I found a huge big box of diaries. I used to keep diaries as a teenager, like a really kind of geeky thing to do, and I just kept everything,
wow.
Everything. And I found the whole period in life where I, you know, landed in this band, and we got this deal, and suddenly I found myself on the road with these big bands. But I was writing it all down. Like, I don't know why I wasn't just getting drunk in the bar. I mean, I think I was getting drunk in the bar as well. Yeah. And then coming back and writing it all down.
Yeah. How legible was the writing?
Yeah, a little bit scrawly in places. But an incredible amount of detail as well. And every backstage pass stuck in and
wow.
All this. So I just had this incredible archive to look back on, which was my younger self.
That's amazing.
It was kind of amazing. And then, of course, I found my dad's little pride box, his little box of clippings from the local paper, all, you know, everything that I'd done. And my dad so wasn't one of those kind of dads.
Yeah.
That, you know, that was just his little private thing that I hadn't known about. So there was something about, I think that moment in time was when I left home, you know, launched myself into the world and just thought, okay, come on, bring it on. What you got for me? And here I was at 41, you know, my family's kind of evolving into something very different. We've lost our dad. I'm pregnant with my first child. And it feels like this bookend of going, whoa, that was me just starting out. And here's me at a very different place in life.
Yeah.
What happened in between?
Yeah.
What have I learned?
Well, the question is, have you learned anything?
Good question. You would hope so.
Yeah.
I think I have. I think Absolutely. That's what the play explores along the way.
Well, yeah. That's what's really exciting. So you've got the play and you've actually got music in it as well.
Yeah.
And working that together and incorporating that must have been really fun and exciting.
Oh, yeah. Things. Oh, it's like being back in a band. It's such good fun. It's even better almost because you get to tell this story and connect with the audience in a really intimate way. It's a very honest show. It's very raw. It's very funny, but, you know, and I get to have all this proper big kick-ass band behind me and just launch into these numbers and relive the 90s in story form. It's joyous.
Was it weird switching yourself a little bit to deal with the theatrical element of the storytelling?
Well, I suppose I've been making theatre for so long. After the band crashed, I was left kind of on the shore of life going, what do I do now? I can't go back to uni. I've been in the back of a tour bus with, you know, a band for the past 2 years. And so I ended up in drama college. My mum and dad went, hey, hallelujah, a real job.
Yeah. Well, mine, that was the real job, drama.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I like your parents. I wish they were mine.
And so I guess, you know, for the past 20 odd years I've been making theatre in some various shapes and forms and telling a lot of real stories. I'm very drawn to other people's real stories, and so just this once I kind of turned it around and went, hold on, maybe I've got a story to tell as well.
Wow.
Turns out people want to hear it.
People want to hear it, and you're going around the world telling them it.
Yeah, I'm kind of blown away by that. I thought this was going to be my little sketchy off the radar project.
Bit of a fringe show to the corner.
Play to 10 people and my mum.
Melbourne International Arts Festival, bang, we want it.
Yeah.
So who's more fun to tour with? Is it Blur and like Damon Albarn or like Theatre Geeks?
Very good question. Oh,
I wonder which one's really the rage. You know what I mean? I reckon it's the Theatre Geeks.
That's a really good question. I mean, we had fun. I do some scenes in the show, and the people, the other brilliant actors in my gang are playing those characters, and they become Damon Albarn in the band for a little while, and we have a lot of fun with that. But you know what? It, looking back, and when I looked at the diaries, the fun was so kind of daft and childish. You know, we're playing them past the Rizla and Blind Man's Buff, you know, where you're turning someone in a circle and people falling out, like really stupid party games, sing songs around the piano. It was good crack.
I once heard a story, I can't remember who told it, but it was someone, you know, their band got a big break supporting Midnight Oil, who are a massive Australian band. And they thought, you know, this is it, this is going to be so much fun. And then they got asked after the show to come back to Midnight Oil's like room, and they're like, oh wow, this is gonna be crazy, like, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, that sort of thing. And they walked in and they were literally sitting around having a pot of tea and talking politics.
I guess you can't do it every night.
No,
you
know? It would be pretty exhausting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you'd lost your father when you kind of gone, this is what we're going to create, you were pregnant, and now how many, that was 3 years ago?
Three and a half years ago, yeah.
3.5 years ago. So what has it been like working on this show, having a child, and how that's influenced or even inspired the way you want to tell the story?
It's inspired it massively. I mean, having my wee girl, who came, you know, quite late in life. I was 41 when I had her, and I really thought that window had closed for me. So she is the inspiration for the entire show, really. It's a love song to her. It's a kind of, here's all I've got, wee one. Here's your mama with all the flaws and all the crazy shit. And, you know, here is who I am. I hope something is of use here. So it's a love song to her. It's a love song to my parents in a way as well. And I think she's made me think about who I am and what kind of strengths I want to pass on to her, I guess. So that's been a massive part of it.
What an amazing legacy to be able to have everyone else be able to experience. Creating that is one thing, and I think that's so wonderful that you've done that for your daughter. But the fact that you've been able to create something with a group of people that we get to all experience and learn from and live from as well, just as an artist, I just think that's amazing.
Oh, it is a warm show. I hope it seems to be that people can kind of really connect with their own stories, you know, even if they're not the exact same. I think there's a lot of parallels that people see in their own lives.
Having the presence of mind to say, you know, we all have experiences. You know, we don't all get to be rock stars, but everything that we live out is, you know, it's a massive story.
Absolutely.
And sharing that with the rest of the world and, you know, for your daughter is, I'm really excited about seeing this show. Aww. I really am.
I hope you enjoy it.
Well, you can all go and see it as well. It's What Girls Are Made Of with Cora Bissette, and it's on from October 3rd to the 13th at Arts Centre Melbourne as a part of the Melbourne International Arts Festival. It sounds absolutely amazing. I'm really excited for it. You can get your tickets by going to festival.melbourne online, or just jump onto the Arts Centre website and grab yourself tickets, because we were already excited to see it before we'd even interviewed you. I'm not going to lie. Ash and I were like, this was on our list, no question. Yay. Now having you here and doing this interview, it's just elevated so much more.
Amazing.
It's so exciting. So everyone, October 3rd to 13th, go and see What Girls Are Made Of. Cora, thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Cheers, guys.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Ash and Dean.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day. Live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.